Welcome to RevCast, an official podcast of Appolitan Civilization Site.
I'm Cardamandua.
Jeff B. Reeves.
Alexander the First.
This is episode 2, Attack of the Civs.
Oh, you're such a nerd.
Yeah, I know. I'm Alexander the First, and we're here with Cardamandua.
Hello.
And Joby Reeves.
Hi.
And our guest, BT Oz.
G'day, everyone. For those who don't know me, I co-host Modcast. So, Joe, I was noticing that you've got the Xbox 360 version.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a good question for you. How many nukes can you launch from your main city?
You're only allowed the one, just like the DS version. You're only allowed to spin one of them, I believe.
It's a pity, though.
Okay, we have an offensive player among us.
Well, sometimes you just have to blow Montezuma out a lot. Today we're kind of focusing on the civilizations in CivRev, talk a little bit about our preferences, what we like, some of the distinguishing features of the various civs, and maybe some hopes, wishes, and dreams for a potential sequel. What civilization do you guys play with the most? What do you like?
Well, I don't mind playing with Germans because you also get extra half-price for barracks. So I usually try to play them to start off, but I've played every single group there.
I actually agree with him. I like the Germans as well. My biggest preference for the Germans is not only the half-price barracks, but the automatic upgrades for elite units. That's a shocker.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and Aztecs too. And it's funny, I'm not a warring civ, but I like the idea of having automatic heals or having the most powerful units on the board at any one time. So Aztecs and Germans are my favorites, and I tend to get addicted to playing those.
I guess I would say the Germans as well, just because
wow.
They're my civ. I'm a citizen of both Germany and the United States, so aside from any civ specifics, it's just got to give some love to the fatherland.
I don't have a favorite civ. In case anybody doesn't know, I don't actually play with strategy, I just play, so I don't even...
What about, do you have a least favorite, or one that you hate to face? All of them?
You know, that's kind of hard, because personality-wise, they all sort of exhibit the same personalities.
Yeah, it's true.
And so it's not like you can't get the same rage as you do in Civ 4 with Montezuma or something.
Yeah.
I played as the English, and I actually really enjoyed that. It seemed like I was doing a little bit better. I have heard that a lot of people really like the Chinese.
I thought it was the Japanese.
One of the posts that we were looking at was the Chinese, and they were talking about the plus one pop on cities. It's basically automatic production on every city, or automatic science, or automatic gold, or whatever you want. One of the posts that we were reviewing was that the guy was addicted to playing because he tried other civs and immediately went back to the Chinese because he couldn't get away from the plus one pop.
Well, it sounds like he's a grower, though. He's more like a builder trying to grow his civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the case, then yeah, the Chinese would be really great.
Well, they only get writing to start off with.
And then literacy and medieval. And then they get libraries at half price and industrial. And cities aren't affected by anarchy and modern, but who cares? Yeah, that's pretty powerful. It seems like a very buildy and isolationist type of gameplay.
Which is very typical of the Chinese. If you're going culturally.
I just wish the game would allow you to play as an isolationist. I guess if you build the Great Wall, then you can be as isolationist as you want.
I guess it all depends on your playstyle. In Civ 4, I like to be a builder, but on CivRev, I don't know, I find myself much more militarily oriented.
Well, you have to be.
Well, yeah. And so instead of building up all of my things in my cities, I just do unit spam and attack everybody I see until they're all dead.
Germany's awful good for that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Like we were saying, the personalities all kind of seem the same. It's like a whiny 5-year-old next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yep.
And then you say no, and then you give them a spanking.
Yep, hopefully.
Well, yeah.
Somebody also pointed out they like the Americans because of the 2% gold. Not early in the game, but late in the game. It's in his example, if you have a 5,000 gold bank, you get 100 gold in interest per turn. That's monstrous in the end game.
That is a lot. Especially since I find it harder to, and maybe this is just because I'm playing poorly, I'm not sure, but I have a hard time actually making gold in Civ Rev. Getting 500, I'm like, alright, I have 500 gold!
Mm-hmm. Do you rush your units a lot, or do you just never have the money?
I don't rush units. I guess I'm just not managing my finances correctly.
Going for beakers.
On Civ Fanatics, Gamer Dad gives a review about Russia and how he thought that it was going to be a jack-of-all-trades sort of situation, but not be master of any of them. But he found out that it was exactly the opposite, that it was actually can be a really powerful player, and that you can win in all types of victories. So he talks about how you begin with more map, which I think actually would be an incredible bonus. So you can see where you want to go right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
You get plus one food from Flames in the Ancient. It looks like you get a loyalty upgrade in the Medieval, half-priced Rifleman in Industrial,
mm-hmm.
and half-priced Spies in the Modern.
And that's fun.
I think that would be fun. He does have a point where you kind of jump around a little bit. Food, defensive units get loyalty, and then military stuff. I mean, that is a little bit jumping around, but it seems like this would be really good for playing sort of a defensive game, but also an offensive game in the end.
I think that you can play basically any role. I mean, if you can steal great people at the end of the game, you can basically rob people of the game. About the only one that they don't have would be on the financial side.
Well, it seems like you could start with the Russians without a strategy in mind and just see what works best.
Play the end game.
It's my personal way to play it.
Yep. Kind of ability in the early and then strike at the end game with your strategy, just depending on which direction you want to go.
Sounds like something I could get into.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says that they really like Egypt because they get techs really crazy.
It always bites me in the butt because you get the plus one food and trade from desert regions, and it never fails that when I start a game with Egypt, I'm in a forest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Go figure.
And you begin a game with a randomized ancient wonder, so one out of four you're going to get something really great.
Oh, that's cool.
And then you get knowledge of irrigation and medieval, plus one rifleman and industrial, and 50% bonus on caravan gold in the modern era.
You can kind of see how they would say that they would be able to win a tech victory. Lodrijan, Civ Fanatics, it was awesome because he could just get a tech victory earlier on and getting a lot of science.
Since our next question of what civilization we'd like to see in the next Civ Rev, and I think we need Australian representation.
What civs does everybody think are kind of glaring omissions? Why isn't this one in?
The Ottomans.
I guess I could see that. Turks.
They had a huge empire, and they were militaristic, and that seems to fit the theme of Civ Rev.
Would you pick Suleiman the Magnificent?
Probably, just to keep it in line with the other Civ games. I think they've already decided that he was the best, and I can't really think of anybody that would top him.
I can't think of anybody that would top him. They've tried in other Civ games with Osman and Mehmet II.
I did see the post where somebody wanted Ragnar the Vikings.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Get the Vikings in there.
The Vikings would be cool. This was posted on 2K forums where they talk about that, where the Vikings could be a new Civ. And he actually lists all the details of what it would be.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. He says that they would begin the game with navigation. I like that because that just only makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks like later on he wants to give them some trading bonuses. Yeah, and an industrial era trading post built in each city.
I think they should get pillage bonuses myself. But
it looks like he's trying to balance the Vikings between pillaging and trading and exploring.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it only makes for game balance, so.
Mm-hmm. We only have one really great seafaring civ, and that's Japan from an early standpoint. So to have somebody to counterbalance that with good seafaring capabilities makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's recommending Knut as the leader.
Oh.
I can see that, actually.
I guess it makes sense. You know, he ruled, was it, if I remember correctly, I think it was Norway, Denmark, and England. Oh, and it looks like some of Sweden, this guy says as well.
Any personal favorites that you guys think should be in the game?
Yes.
I think maybe the Portuguese.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they were great explorers.
You could get some really good mid-game exploration bonuses.
Maybe for seafaring and exploration.
That makes sense.
I have to say Babylon.
This is a personal thing for you.
Well, I've been in every Civ game until this one.
Only because you didn't leave them alone until they put them in.
Well, cradle of civilization, you know. And nothing's more satisfying than giving a Civ the old Nebuchadnezzar treatment.
You like to expound on that?
Thack and burn? I don't know. You'd probably have it balanced between science and technology and cruel, crippling, dominant warfare. I mean, I guess I could see Persia as well. You know, that would be nice with Cyrus or Darius. Either or both.
How about you, Joe?
Not so much a specific Civ, but I'd like to see expansion of civilization. So maybe instead of just having Lincoln, we can have FDR. We could choose to have Louis in France instead of Napoleon and give them slightly different characteristics.
Okay, so just more leader heads.
And Korea would be nice just because of the representation, and a couple more European countries would be nice as well, but I think I'd like to see more leaders that have slightly different traits. So if you don't necessarily want to play as Lincoln, you could play as FDR, who has a late game strength as opposed to an early game strength.
Or Greece could have Heracles instead of Alexander the Great, so it's a little bit more philosophically minded rather than militarily.
I'm really hoping for Civ Rev 2, just so they can expand on some of the ideas and add philosophy and add a couple traits of the traditional PC sim games, because obviously console gamers and handheld gamers can handle the strategy side of gaming more.
What about the current selection of Civs and leaders? Why do you think they chose the ones they did?
Most obvious.
That's probably...
The most familiar leaders, I think, is what they did with that, with the exception of Germany when they chose the most politically correct leader.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of the most obvious. The big three ancient empires, Egypt, Greece, and Rome. Then they did all the, well, the major European countries and America, China, Japan, and then just a couple of flavor ones. But I think they tried to go with people who are most likely to play the game. There are going to be people in Germany, France, Britain, USA, Japan.
That's true.
And one Australian.
Or Canada.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they put Catherine the Great in Russia instead of Peter the Great.
Or Stalin or Lenin.
It just seems that they, you know, want to make sure they got their females in there.
Yep.
I'd like to see in Civ Rev 2 team up with the AI.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That would be interesting.
That's a great idea. They made the characters look like comic book characters. You know, the guys are all muscular and the women are all well endowed.
I think they're fun. I think Genghis is one of the funniest characters I've ever seen in a game.
Genghis, I don't have any problems with because he seems like he could be historically accurate. As a history person, so I kind of understand why people would be, like, upset about the Cleopatra thing because historically, totally not right, but,
well,
you know,
she was ugly
game,
historically.
So.
If you've ever seen the coins from that period, she was ugly.
She was an ugly Greek woman with a big nose. But anyway, men can have their fantasies.
But yeah, Genghis Khan looks dead on.
Yeah.
Oh, Napoleon, though. That hand should be a little bit farther up.
Napoleon's a happy man.
Oh.
You guys got to pick up the console versions because you're missing out on the DS.
That's true.
John, we enjoy having you with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're our first guest co-host.
I'd like to invite you should come on podcast one day.
Oh, gosh.
We'll just kick Ken out for the day. You've been listening today to the second episode of Revcast. I'm BT Oz, and see you later.
I'm Karen Mandua. Bye.
Bye-bye from Joe B. Reeves.
I'm Alexander the First. Later.
Record date January 31st, 2009. Civilization Revolution Sound Clips copyright Take Two Interactive. Copyright 2009, a Bolton Civilization site at bolton.net.